What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And welcome on in. It is Jonathan Pietro and no Nick Wilson today. He is out. He'll be back tomorrow. We have Mac Robinson on the board. Yes. And everyone else is also out too. That's what's going on today. It's me and Mac from the original crew. Yeah, we have Anthony here. We have Matt Corrali here. We have people here. But from the original crew, there's only two of us today, and that's okay. That's more than enough because it's basically just going to be me yelling into a microphone for 5 hours because I'm still peeved. I'll tell you why I'm not as peeved in a second. Spencer German will join us coming up in about a couple hours or so. We have Danny Cunningham at 3, Greg Rosenthal at 4:40, the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, at 3:40. Those highlights courtesy of TNT Sports. I noticed Mac didn't put any of the 7 minutes the Cavs went without scoring a basket in the third quarter while going 17 of 18 from the field in that stretch. So thank you for that. It was a depressing day. It was a sad day. And for someone like myself that really stuck my neck out on the line in suggesting that not only would they win that game yesterday, but they had a puncher's chance to come back because I've seen them win 3 games in a row. We've all seen them win 3 games in a row, to have them be as embarrassing as they were in that third quarter, and to have Donovan Mitchell completely forget the whole point of what this season was in taking up until the 1 minute mark of the fourth quarter, the previous 13 possessions the Cavs had, all Donovan Mitchell shots. It was an unreal display of showcasing how to forget what the regular season was all about. And then making us think to ourselves how much of the regular season really even mattered. Now, here's where I'm going to give them a little bit of grace. And it might be the only time I give them grace throughout the entire stretch of this show. I'm not sure. I'm here to 7 regardless. We'll figure this out. But the one thing I wanted to see today, I want to make sure they didn't just sweep this under the rug. I said last night as I was getting things ready, I was thinking to myself, if I see one player or executive try to do the Forrest Gump t-shirt, you know, bleep happens on us, I'm going to lose it because bleep doesn't happen like that. This wasn't a close fought 7-game series where you missed a few shots. You vomited all over your shoes for 5 games and then you said good game at the end of it. There's a difference here. You were as close in this series as you were against Boston last year. Maybe I missed the part of the Pacers franchise where they've ever won as much as a stuffed teddy bear. I don't know. Maybe I missed their big championship case that they have somewhere in Indy. It doesn't exist, okay, guys? The fact that this was about the same level of competitive as it was against Boston is downright embarrassing. But here's where I give them a little bit of grace. And I was thinking about myself in this. Sometimes in life, when you screw up and you screw up in a big time way, you just got to face the music. That's the line that that they use in Kingpin. It's just sometimes you just got to face the music. And then he sets up Roy Munson to then be the one to face the music, to then have the car just drive off and leave Roy Munson, Munsoned out in the middle of nowhere. The point is, when I was younger, this is before I was ever on the air, the first radio job I ever had out of college, I was running board for a conservative radio station in Chicago. I was like, I just need to get into the business. Let's do this. So I was like running like Dennis Miller, all sorts of just whatever shows. And sometimes I would do their sports because they had sports. It's in Chicago. They had some of the local teams would then carry their games as well. And so I was doing a game one night, just running board, nothing more than that. And it was like 12:30. The game was done and I was supposed to shift it into the other programming. And there was supposed to be something set up in the computer that would do that. It didn't end up doing that. And I had already left because I played with the assumption that it did. And long story short, it was like 10 minutes of dead air time, which is not good in this business. The point of the story, though, is I was telling my mom the next morning, I was like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I messed up bad. I had to go back. I had to fix it on the fly. But I'm like, I don't know that he knows. I mean, it was like 10 minutes of no air, but I don't know that the program director knows. She's like, well, you have to tell him. You have to get out in front of this and you have to let him know. And I said, okay. I said, you're right. I got to face the music. I got to do this. And so I called him up. It was like 8 a.m. And I called up this guy. And I was like, listen, I messed up last night. Like, I don't know what happened there. And he goes, it wasn't your fault. It was not your fault. But I was going to call you in 5 minutes to fire you. And it was just a very valuable lesson about how getting in front of things can sometimes make a world of difference. What the Cavs did today was get in front of what is an absolute disaster of a situation. But why I give them credit in this regard is because last year they didn't do it. Last year, they would have taken the approach of me just saying, well, I'll let the boss call me and fire me in 5 minutes, I guess. We'll figure this out. But I'm going to take no accountability. I'm going to take no recourse for my actions. I'm going to have no responsibility attached to this at all. This year, this was them saying, hey, I messed up. This was not good enough. We don't have this type of standard. We raised our expectations and we fell short. Again, I'm not going to sit here for 5 hours and tell you they deserve a Peterwin pass or any other sort of pass because they said, hand up, my bad. That doesn't excuse what happened. And it doesn't excuse the idea that you looked about as awful in a 5-game series as I ever could have imagined you would look at this point in the core four stages. I never thought it would be this bad. And for a 64 win team, you could never think it would be this bad. But they do get credit, in my opinion, in the idea that they at least all stepped up to the stage and faced the music, and they didn't do what they did last year. Last year, I was livid, downright angry at this Cavs franchise for what they tried to pull off in front of all of you guys. They blame the coach, which was fine. Blame the coach all you want. Make JB Bickerstaff the fall guy. They certainly did. They blame the injuries. They tried telling us that a 7-game Orlando series was supposed to be competitive. A team that they fought out and wanted to play. Everything about last season and how it ended was fugazi. Everything about last season and how it ended was just as awful as this season. Where the growth comes in is maybe they felt like they couldn't hide anymore and they couldn't run from any more excuses. But at least every person you heard in that open and every person we've heard from today has had the same mentality. That wasn't good enough. That was awful to the point where when I sit up here for the next 5 hours and when Spencer joins me as well, we are going to hammer the Cavs. There's no other way to do it. You lose in that type of fashion, you go as cold as you could in that third quarter. You couldn't hit water if you fell out of a boat. You go that cold in that third quarter in the biggest moment and in the biggest stage this team has had. There's no excuse for it. We're going to light them up. But I did think it was refreshing today that they at least came out there, they faced the music, and they understood that this isn't good enough. Now, it doesn't excuse it. No part of this gets excused. It's just the reality. Donovan Mitchell speaking, talking about how the season was not a success. And again, he'll say it harder than anything I could possibly say over the next 5 hours.
We took a step in the right direction, but we didn't win a championship, and we didn't complete the end goal. So, no, there's no moral victories here. We just didn't get the job done. There's really nothing else to be said.
What else am I going to say over the next 5 hours that's as mean as that? Like, I love the idea that Donovan's got this championship mentality. I love the idea that the Cavs organization as a whole has this championship mentality. And I love the idea that last year they tried selling us on linear growth and the idea that they got better than the year prior and that was supposed to be a success. And this year they're saying that's fugazi. Atkinson last night. Again, new head coach, wasn't with us last year, but a completely different tune than what was seen last season.
If you get better, feel like you've internally, I think we all in that locker room in our organization felt like we got better. We felt like we had players make a jump, but it's not a success in terms of the goal we had. We had a goal to make that next jump. I'm not sure we can say that. I do think we can say we got better and we improved, but a success would be you're going to the conference finals, so can't deem it a success.
I mean, this makes my job much easier. I got worried I was going to have to come in here today and it was going to be some sort of battle. I thought it was going to be me against an army of callers suggesting that this Cavs season wasn't a failure, suggesting that this Cavs season was something that we need to be proud of, one seed, 64-win teams. It's all for naught. It's all for naught. None of it matters. When you go out in five games in the second round, you could win a million games. Nobody cares. Nobody cares, and I like and appreciate the fact that the Cavs players and their coaches were at least honest with us in that moment to understand that we don't want to hear it either. It was an awful, awful series. Pacers did exactly what we thought this Cavs team would do. Pacers had six different scorers in double digits. Tyrese Halliburton, the guy that everyone was doing overrated chants for in game two of the series, all of a sudden showed us why he's not the 19th ranked player in the NBA and showed us why he is a budding superstar in this NBA. I want to see him play on Christmas Day. I want to see him play big primetime games. Like that is a playmaker. That is a facilitator. That is somebody that is understanding what his team needs in that moment and didn't do what Donovan did. I appreciate what Donovan has done over this series. Donovan taking 13 straight possessions in the fourth quarter, though. What are you doing in that spot? You had zero faith in anybody else around you. Now, maybe they didn't earn your faith, but you had zero faith in anybody else around you. You played hero ball. You made it about yourself. Halliburton didn't do that. Six different Pacers in double digits in scoring averaged out over this series. They were the deeper team when there was no chance they were supposed to be the deeper team coming into the series. And now that's why they're in back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it is a bad day. There's no question about it to be a Cavs fan. It's a bad day, especially since we've spent a lot of time talking about the second apron. My gosh, the second apron. I mean, I get it. The Cavs are going to be able to acquire as much as a paint can this summer. It's going to stink. We're going to have to find a way to get through this. But I can at least take some reprieve in the idea that they at least faced the music this year. They at least stood up and said to themselves, okay, we understand this was not the season that anybody anticipated or wanted or how it ended, and we're not just going to be happy with a regular season finish. And maybe, just maybe, 10 years from now, the NBA, because of the second apron and everything else attached to it and how the league has changed and how Adam Silver has tried to change this thing, maybe 10 years from now, we'll look at the NBA the same way we look at Major League Baseball, where in baseball, punch your ticket into the postseason, and that's all anybody can ask of you. You know, win 100, you'll be the Mariners in 01. You win 116 games, you're bouncing the first round against the Yankees, and it just, hey, that's baseball, Susan. It just kind of happens. Maybe we'll get there, but we're not there right now. For the previous 50 years of the NBA, the very best teams show out in the postseason. Always have. I don't know that they always will. Again, maybe 5-10 years from now, we're singing a different tune, and maybe this is the start of it. Look around what's going on in this playoffs. Maybe this is the start of it. But you can't rely on that. And if history suggests anything, this is more of an outlier than it is anything else, and the Cavs, in fact, should be ashamed of what happened in this series. So I want to hear from you guys, 216-474-0092. On Twitter there, you can find me. I am at Jay Peterwin. Twitter reactions brought to you by our friends over there at Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. How differently do you see this Cavs team now? That's what I want to hear from you guys. We'll have open phone lines again, 216-474-0092. How differently do you see this Cavs team now? Because now I don't look at them as a 64-win team. I don't look at them as this juggernaut. I don't look at them expecting a cavalanche like I used to always expect. I can't anymore. Yes, my opinion of them has changed. How has it changed for you guys? More to come. Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We just had Danny Green on with us, former Cavalier, spent a lot of time in San Antonio. He's our Odyssey Sports NBA insider these days, and it just always cuts right to the chase. He said, I thought this was interesting, hey, guys, you won a lot of games during the regular season. Run it back. Just run it back. What'd you think of that?
I agree with him. I'd be really hard-pressed not to just keep the core four together and tinker around it. I can tell you why I wouldn't, though. And Kobe Altman and Mike Gansey, they will be checking with other teams, as you know. I mean, that's their job.
Sure,
remember that. That's their job. I would consider changing it if you had an offer that you thought, well, that clearly makes our team better. I mean, that sounds really stupid. I wouldn't be looking to break up the quote-unquote core four. I wouldn't. But if I got an offer that made my team better, I would think about it. Sam Amico, our buddy on HoopsWire.com, Sam wrote a piece yesterday and mentioned, you know, maybe DeAndre Hunter is a piece that might be tough to keep here money-wise, even though he's under contract. You know, and maybe that's a guy you move. I personally think DeAndre is a nice fit on this team.
I do, too.
I'd keep five guys, and I'm not talking burgers and fries. I'd keep five guys on this team. Thank you.
Right.
I think DeAndre is a guy that you want to keep. And I don't think DeAndre is a superstar player. I think he's a good player. Well, you win with good players. And he can hit the three, and he can play defense. I would include him as one of the guys I don't want to move. And then I would tinker with everything else. And guess what? If you get into the season and you find it's not working, there's a trade deadline, Andy. You can make a move at the trade deadline. Cavs did this year. You can always change it later.
Here's what Danny had to say, in case you missed it.
I think it's working. Obviously, you guys had a 60-plus game season. You just had a bad matchup. It looks like Indiana had beat you guys prior to the playoffs at home, I think once or twice. You got DeAndre Hunter later in the season. Ty Jerome also didn't play. No, it's just sometimes it's this way the cookie crumbles, right? Some guys have an off night. Some guys have an on night. You might not see another series where Tyrese Haliburton is going to go 5-for-5 and a quarter. You know, you might not see another series where Nembhard shoots 50% from, you know, like they had a lot of things go right for them and U.S. had a couple of things go wrong.
Injuries, obviously the big part of it. No one wants to use that as an excuse, but I think Cavs fans might look back at this year and look at the injuries that they suffered during the second round that they didn't have in the first round. And they were, you know, I mean, they were on fire against Miami. Do you think Cavs fans want to run this back exactly the same way as they did?
You're well, what do you mean exactly?
I don't want to run four with Hunter.
You're hard pressed not to. And they're really good. They really are. I don't like the mix of Donovan and Darius together. I think there's enough of an overlap of skill set that you could improve the team if you got the right deal. Key words there are right deal. You don't trade Darius Garland just to trade Darius Garland. That'd be silly. Darius is really good. And it would truly be silly just to move him. But if you get a deal that you think, okay, we see how this makes us better, well, you have to look at that. And if you really think it makes you better, you have to do it. You know, if you found a wing player who you thought, man, that separates us, and the other team wants a point guard, they want Darius, I don't know how you wouldn't do it. If you had another team that had a 6'6 point guard, defensive-minded, with a decent outside shot, you know, I'm just throwing things out there, that gives you a different look than Donovan. You know, the two things with me with Darius and Donovan, they're both ball-dominant guards. Nothing wrong with that. I just don't think it's a recipe to win a championship. And at this point, you don't need regular season championships. You won 64 games. You're in it now to win it. And if you find the right trade partner, Andy, this is the league. You know, I mean, Luka's a Laker. The heck does that happen?
That is true. I mean, you sometimes just never know.
Yeah, Oklahoma had Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. Traded them all.
I start to wonder who would be interested in Darius. I'm sure there'd be plenty of teams. You know, there was the story, I think SI had it, and SI had the story in the offseason about New Orleans or San Antonio, that they would be. And then
I don't think San Antonio would be anymore.
Well, no, but that was last season. I'm just saying that, you know, there probably are teams that would be interested. And what is the return? What do you get? What would you be getting back? I think that's the question you always have to ask yourself when you're talking about a trade. And I also know that Cavs fans right now feel disgruntled, right? Like, okay, they didn't win. Can they get any better? I can't foresee them beating Indiana in the near future, not after the way that series went down. But, I mean, you never know.
Well, sure they could.
Well, they really struggle. I think the harder part is they struggle with them at home. Like,
well, I think Indiana, I agree with Kenny Atkinson. Indiana was a better team.
I think everybody will agree with that. And that also makes me think, okay, well, how can the Cavaliers be a better team than Indiana? How can they? Do you have to make a tweak to do that, or is this practice and health?
I wonder if the
Cavs... And a better game plan? I don't know. I don't see the Cavs beating Indiana in a 7-game series, you know, if they...
Next year's a different year, Andy. You know, I'm the guy who likes Indiana.
Right.
But you never know what's going to happen in the offseason. You never know, you know, if the Cavs find two or three role players who come in and make a difference. You know, who thought that Naismith and Nembhard would be difference makers for Indiana? Well, Indiana did.
True.
And they were. And, you know, I know that a lot of folks might not know those names. Well, those guys can really play. And they fit with what they wanted to do. And that's the key word is fit. You have to find the right guys to fit with what you want to do. And, you know, maybe some team thinks Darius is a better fit than whoever they have at point guard, and they move him, you know, they move him along and blah, 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 blah. You just have to be wide open to it. And Kobe Altman's never been shy. Kobe's a very aggressive general manager. And if he gets the right trade offer that he thinks improves his team, he owes it to himself, the owner of the team, the rest of the players, the city, to make that trade. That's what these guys do.
All right. I want to switch gears here too, especially because it's a major weekend for golf. And I know we haven't really had a chance to talk about any of this over the last couple of days. A PGA Championship is going on at Quail Hollow, not the one off of 90 near Mentor. Or is that in Mentor? It's Concord.
Probably right over there. Right at 44. Right?
Yeah. Not that one. No, this is the one in Charlotte, North Carolina. I wish I could really get up for the PGA Championship. We were talking about this in the break. Like, I'm excited. I'll watch it. I'll dip in and out, and I'll definitely want to see what's going on Sunday. But is it because it's not an Open and it's not a Masters that it just automatically feels like it's the fourth major? Is that why?
No.
Why does it always feel like the fourth major?
Well, because it is.
Okay, well, why? Why do we feel that way about this?
Because the Open, the British Open,
right,
has, you know, all of that cool history, and they play it, you know, on different courses with a different style of golf.
And it's open. Okay. Right? I mean,
kind of open. You can qualify.
Yeah.
You know, same with the U.S. Open.
That's what I think makes the U.S. Open so cool. Like, I love that. And not even, it's not the fact that.
They're all dominated by the guys who play the tour.
Anyway. I know, but there's still a chance. And, you know, you start watching for the first couple rounds, there's always like one name there. And they're very like, who's this guy? And they're like a darling, you know, and you get to follow them. And then by Saturday, you're like, oh, well, that was fun.
The Masters is cool because of all of the traditions surrounding the Masters and the, you know, pretentiousness of everybody in Augusta. And then you have the PGA. And a lot of the players really like the PGA because it's kind of an honor to the PGA professionals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I can't tell you.
But it's clearly the fourth on the list of majors.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
if you're going to rank them, it would. I can't imagine that anybody other than maybe a player or the son of a PGA professional would say that it's the tournament that, you know, that it's not number four.
It's true. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I totally just would get pumped up when I would see Rob Moss from Padua and from Northeast Ohio.
Kent Stater.
Kent Stater, yeah. Pepper Pike right now, when he's had the opportunity to play. I mean, I'm locked in, and I get bummed out when they don't show him. I'm like, ah, or they didn't show him. And so I do tend to root for that, whoever, you know, and I don't even know who it is this year, but somebody who would qualify from Northeast Ohio. I love that. I think that's a cool part of it. Dan, did he spell it out right about the PGA Championship?
I think the fact that it moves and rotates, and I think the fact that...
Hurts it or helps it?
I think it helps it. You ready? I think it goes either way.
Well, every major does except Augusta.
Yeah, Valhalla, which is where they played it last year in Kentucky, mm-hmm. while a cool name, not a real fun course for TV. Quail Hollow, not the most fun course for TV.
But they also don't trick out the course either
exactly.
like they do.
And
I think that's the other part of it.
I think that's the other part of why people don't look at the PGA the same way, is the U.S. Open, they like build the roughs up.
Yeah.
You really get penalized for these things. These guys are struggling up and down. You'll see a PGA winner. I mean, gosh, by the end of the weekend, somebody could win this tournament at minus 20, and I don't think any of us would be floored. I mean, that's kind of how some of these PGA championships go. I think there's
something. Could you imagine that shooting minus 15 and coming in like 15th place?
Right. I mean, the winner of this could be minus 18, and I don't think any of us would be shocked because that's how PGA championships are. They don't trick the courses up. It is an elevated event. It has that feel of an elevated event. You get cool winners. It's a tournament that's built for guys out of nowhere. I mean, gosh, Phil out of Kiowa, you know, when they played it in South Carolina there, God out of nowhere, you. Phil played so well. I mean, they should go back to Kiowa. That was a cool course. They should have that one on more often.
Hmm.
But I think that's what it is. You know, it's an elevated event that feels like a standard PGA Tour event.
I'll buy it. It's for some reason though. It just doesn't have it. And we talked about it. It doesn't have the zing. I don't. I'd love to go over to Oakmont. Would you go? Will you go or no?
I'm going.
Oh, you're definitely going.
I'm going.
Did you get tickets already or no?
Oh, I'm going.
Did you get tickets already?
Oh, I'm going.
Jeff, would you go? I wonder. Are you a big golf spectator? Walking along. I'll tell you what. After doing production, and I'm not for doing.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In production for CBS, it is really, really, really hard to beat the coverage on television, even if you're there.
I prefer to watch golf on television.
It is
only because I like to see everybody that's going on. You can't do that if you're on the course.
No, you can't.
It's a different feel. Although, you know, some really cool things about it, but it's a very different feel.
We'll talk a little bit more about this. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps.
Lyman's becoming increasingly annoyed by people doing victory laps with the NFL.
Well, I saw a clip and...
Say it. He never comes on anyway. Yeah. So I know you guys are buddies. So
Adam Schein, Syracuse grad.
And you guys are friends.
Longtime NFL talker. He is talking about how, once again, the NFL knocked it out of the park with the schedule. All these great holiday games and a loaded week one proves the NFL understands what it takes to stay on top. And I told Ken, they could have 16 horrific matchups in the first week of the season. Nobody cares. It would get the same ratings. It would get literally the exact same ratings.
I don't know what the NFL has to do to have an actual, like, cataclysmic fall in ratings. I have no idea what the NFL would have to do. Like, they'd have to do things that you would have to just dream up in your car that aren't real.
Right.
But I do find it odd. I got to tell you, I feel the same way you do, where it's, I keep going back to the Al Michaels thing where, yeah, we fell from number one to number one. talking about the NFL, because it's just this weird, like, the NFL knows. They know. They're scratching and clawing to make sure that they're number one. It's like, no, they're not.
The secret sauce of the NFL is this, and it just goes to show, like, just, we should just all understand at this point. Stop holding baseball, hockey, anything in college NBA.
Compare those together.
So the PGA.
Yes.
WNBA. Stop comparing those things to the NFL and explaining why the NFL is on top because of this. And this is why these sports aren't the NFL. No, it doesn't matter. The NFL could do the next 100 decisions Roger Goodell makes could all be completely wrong. You know what it's going to do to the ratings? Nothing.
Not very much.
It's not going to move the needle at all.
216-474-0092. All right, back to the Cavs, because I got to get to this audio coming up at 7:30. Also, Daryl Ryder going to join us at 8:02, and we got to get to this by the end of the show, because Mitch is going to Indianapolis this week for the Caitlin Clark opener, and he's wondering whether or not I should wear Cleveland stuff.
Oh, we need an itinerary.
So we will find out
the whole weekend schedule.
I'm sure it's going to be a buster of a trip, man. I'm sure he's going to be getting crazy, old Mitchy boy. Staring at the walls, waiting for the game to start.
What is a buster?
All I see him is just, I was trying to think of something else, and I was going to have to dump myself. I think of Mitch going on his way to Indianapolis like putty on a plane, just staring into the back of the seat behind him, just into the abyss.
Do you think I'm a sociopath?
No, I think you're a boring person. thoughts.
You could be a boring psychopath, too.
Yeah.
It is in play.
It's true.
Actually, you're not as boring as I make you out to be on the air. You're very odd. And that's where I'll leave that. That's coming up a little bit later. So, does Donovan want us to be meaner to the Cavs? Does he want us to be meaner to the Cavs? Should we be mean to him this offseason and then during the year? Should we be mean?
To the team or Donovan?
No, leave Donovan out of it. Does he want us to be mean to the rest of the Cavs?
I don't. Well, first of all, you know, getting really nasty at the team, like, is it to apply pressure so that the front office understands how upset we are?
Should we hold them to a higher standard and hold them accountable?
Like, first of all, I guarantee just the way that these players are. Think about Kevin Durant and the amazing career he's had in the NBA, and yet all he looks at every day when he signs on to social media are people killing him. That's the only thing that resonates with him. So I'm sure all these guys, I'm sure
Darius. Well, you want to talk about psychopaths.
I'm sure Darius and Jared Allen, they're catching a ton of heat for this series. Max Strus for his game five, even though Max Strus was huge for them in the playoffs. Like all these guys, they feel it. I think sometimes they do a poor job of, you know, eliminating that stuff from their life. I think they pay attention to it too much. But I don't think there's a shortage of people that are frustrated with what went on. I mean, you lost to a team that nobody in Cleveland picked you to lose. There wasn't one fan, one media member. There wasn't one person that called us. The closest to it was Brad Doherty saying he thought it was going seven.
He thought they'd win in seven. Let me get to the phones. 216-474-0092. Mike and Shaker, you're first up on the Fan.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Hey, so Donovan Mitchell absolutely is talking to the fans, and he's also talking to the organization, because if you look at how the Pacers play, these no-name players, they created shots for themselves. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If Donovan Mitchell is basically saying, hey, look, I done put up 53, I done put up 30, I done put up 40. Where you guys at? You know, why? If your best player is scoring that much, that means everybody else on the floor isn't doing what they're supposed to do. The same thing with Golden State. Golden State, Steph Curry was the best player on the team. Draymond Green, he knew how to create. Clay, he knew how to create. You know, those guys knew how to create. And I just don't get how we lost this series and then lost at home getting beat up because y'all don't have the toughness, the mental toughness. This is the playoffs. We're trying to get somewhere. We're not building this organization just to get to the playoffs. No, we're building this organization to get to the finals and win it. And he's saying the same thing. If you guys can't sit up here and play through an ankle sprain, if you can't say, hey, shoot me up so I can at least go out there, play half of the game. And if you're not feeling well when you come back out for halftime, okay, fine. But you showed the team, you showed the fans that you're tough, that you're mentally tough, and that you at least try. Y'all didn't even freaking try. Donovan Mitchell out there with a bum ankle, giving it his all. And you guys are just around like, hey, yeah.
Mike,
curious,
that's interesting. Curious. I think they tried. I just think they freaked out. And that's part of the toughness as well. I mean, keeping your head together in a tight situation. I do think they tried. I don't think that they laid down and died or quit or anything like that. But I think that he's saying that they need to carry themselves better against these teams because these teams are they gave them their best shot and they're inspired. And I think it just made the Cavs nervous. I think they tried to make every play, and then they got in a hurry, and I think they got in a mess, and then I think they got bounced by a tougher basketball team.
King, we've been in this situation too many times for them to get scared, for them to get to be fearful. It's put your big boy draws on and go out there and you play physical like the other teams is playing physical. That's the only way you're gonna win a title. If you don't win that, hey, I don't know what to tell y'all, man. Y'all have a good day,
Mike. Thank you very much for the call, Tone.
I do wonder, is it fair to ask? Did Donovan Mitchell lose trust in certain teammates after that series? Now, the caller went on to question, you know, Darius and Evan missing those games, whatever. It'll be impossible
now
for us.
Now is the wrong time to ask him that question personally, because I think he probably did for a minute.
It's impossible for us to know. You know, even Darius said at the end of the game that they won, he's like, no one knows what I'm going through. And I admit, I agree. I don't know what it's like to try to run up and down with the fastest team in the NBA. A physical team as well with that kind of an injury. I don't know.
But I think that...
But Donovan's been there, done that. He had a calf strain, he had an ankle, and he was questionable for the last game. And he went out there and played. The year before, he's banged up. He didn't go out and play in the final game of the season.
And because it's been a weird year. 64-win seasons shouldn't be such a weird year, but they are. Because I think what Donovan in some ways is saying You know, we've been asked to be so understanding. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what this guy's going through. Remember, you and I had that great big knockdown drag out a couple of weeks ago about understanding players, and I'm like, I don't have to understand them. That's what the money's for. I'm tired of hearing that. I think Donovan, to some degree, is like, yeah, I'm a little bit tired of having to understand my teammates to some degree. It's like everybody expects this out of me, my very best effort to rise up, overcome. I know I'm paid a lot of money to do so, but damn it, like, I need some help from you guys in the moment that I need you the most, and you're not giving it to me. And I'm getting angry about this. And I think he was angry about that. And I would certainly support him in that.
But he's also not somebody, he's not going to go to the front office. He doesn't seem like the type of guy, and very few of these stars would, by the way. They all like plausible deniability. We went through this with LeBron forever. He's not going to go to the front office and start to redirect players out of Cleveland. Like, I don't think that's what that's about. But I do think he's agitated. He did sign his contract, so he's here. He's in Cleveland. He's a Cavalier. He's not going anywhere, at least for, you know what, another 3 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, his voice is important. I mean, he is the guy in Cleveland. Like, he is the guy that the fans are listening to. The most jerseys are sold. You know, up until Evan Mobley eclipses him, if that happens.
I think he's the second most, I think he's the second most powerful athlete in Cleveland.
Number one is?
I think Jose, with his organization. I think he understands that there are constraints, but I think if Jose went into the to the front office right now and said, fire Steven Vogt, they'd fire him for him. I think they'd try to talk him out of it, but I think he's the most powerful player in Cleveland.
Yeah,
then Donovan. Then, you know, there are certain constraints that come with Miles, but yeah, probably got to be Miles.
With his team.
Yeah, with his team.
Yeah.
With his team. I think they go as Jose goes. I'm just going to keep my mouth quiet about certain people who may not be here anymore. I'll keep my mouth quiet about
what
certain. Nah, I ain't going to say nothing. What'd you say? See what happens?
Yeah,
nah, I ain't going to know. It's Friday. Mm-mm. Not sitting on that for 2 days. Nope. Dylan in Streetsboro. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Go ahead.
You know what? I'm so glad that, you know, Kim, that you referenced Brad Daugherty. Brad Daugherty was spot on. And on other telecasts, he has said, you know, young teams don't win in the NBA. There is a progression. And for the Cavaliers to win, you know, you guys have touched on it. You know, Evan Mobley has to be the best player on the team for them to win at this point. And for them, you know, the Cavaliers aren't really mature enough to win at this point. And when you look at them incrementally, they have to get better. And the best player has to be Evan Mobley for them to go ahead and take that next step. And we all reference saying, oh, they should have beaten Indiana. Indiana went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and they beat the Cavaliers in the season series. So to say, well, they're the better team is not accurate. The Cavaliers have to mature. So when I listen to, like, the drive time shows, and I was cringing when they talk about we need to trade people. That's not it. The Cavaliers have to grow up and mature. And I'll still have to listen to you guys.
Dylan, thank you very much for the call. Guys, if there are moves to make, I'll listen to moves. And I don't know if you're going to like hearing it at 8:25 around that time when there's possible moves that could be made. I'll listen to moves. It doesn't mean I want to do it because I think it speeds up the clock. And I'd rather, with some of the moves that are out there, I think I'd rather stick with the core four right now, or the four that they have. You can't call them a core four yet. I'd rather stick with the four that they have that are viable pieces there than probably move on with some of these other guys. Just saying. Just pointing it out.
All right. So obviously, when any of these names get brought up, and I'm seeing more and more names. I mean, yesterday was a Jrue Holiday. I think every day we're going to get a different name. I've seen Cam Johnson. I've seen Jalen Suggs. Now, Zion, people are talking about Zion. I mean, anybody we talk about getting in a trade is going to have their own warts, right?
Like, Zion has warts.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, when Zion plays, he's amazing. Like, there's no debating, like, who has a higher ceiling when they actually play. Like, it's not even close. It's Zion.
I understand that, but if they actually play, I get it. I get it.
Right, but that's the thing. What do you think other teams say about Darius right now? Where's the playoff resume?
The playoff resume isn't great, but at least he has a regular season resume. What's Zion's regular season? Well, now this is I'll play that.
I mean, Zion's a 25-7-5 guy, and
when
block
he plays,
shots, and yeah, I know
when he plays,
sure.
but he don't play. I don't even think he likes the game. He don't play.
I can't deny
more than my 6'2 guard.
I can't deny any of what you're saying, but do we not have reasonable complaints about Darius making it through a playoff?
We have reasonable complaints, but I need to have a reasonable replacement. And I'm sorry, Zion Williamson, I know that if you were going off talent, there's no argument. I'm not giving that argument. But he is not a reasonable replacement for me. I think you're just adding more problems to your basketball team.
You have a problem with him because you don't think he likes the game and the being on the court.
I don't think he likes the game.
Yeah, well, don't you think Cleveland's much different than New Orleans
in terms of
basketball?
Yeah, we actually care about it here.
Loving the game.
Yeah, we care about it here.
Because Donovan went out there. He said it in postgame a couple different times, and he really said it after game five, how much he loves the atmosphere that's created here in Cleveland. And you know, Greg Anthony's going on TV and talking about this arena being so much different than everything else.
Yes.
Don't you think maybe Zion could find a love for the game?
I certainly hope so since he played at Duke. I certainly hope so since he played at Duke. But if you're talking about postseason resume, I mean, does Zion have anything to show?
No, none.
So I'm looking.
I'd almost rather take what I don't know about Zion's postseason than what I do know about Darius.
Oh, I totally disagree. I think that Zion has done nothing but shrink in the moment of NBA basketball with grown men. I think that's all Zion
Williamson
has done. But you
agree, he's way better than Darius.
Hell yeah, I agree with that. That's crazy to say different.
Yeah, I just want to make sure he's in a different class.
But I think you'll be much sicker if you were to get Zion Williamson and you were to have some of the same results, because I think that if we're talking about guys shrinking in the postseason, I got a guy who shrunk in the regular season.
But I
think he'd do that in the postseason.
This gets to the heart of any of these talks. Anybody that we'd be talking about getting in a trade, they have their own warts too. And people have to understand what the thought is also about the guys that you are talking about trading. I mean, Jared Allen and Darius Garland, they are seen around the NBA as guys that shrink in bigger moments. They just are. So that's what we all have to understand. We're not going to trade our flawed players for perfect players. So it's what kind of gamble are you willing to take? What do you think your window is with Donovan Mitchell? And do you need to capitalize over the next year and a half, 2 years? Do you need to pounce on that? And is it worth taking that risk? You have to assess all of that in these deals. You can just play it straight. You can just keep returning the core, but then you run the risk of becoming those Paul George Pacers.
Yes, you are right.
Those Paul George Pacers were good regular season teams. And what did they have to show for it? There are a bunch of examples of those teams throughout the years.
You know what?
The Clippers of the West, the Clippers of the Blake years, the Chris Paul years, amazing, amazing teams, regular season, highlight. What do they have to show for it? Nothing. Were they not aggressive enough?
You remind me of what I say about people in the draft. Like, hey, guys, it's easy to say you don't like any of these guys. It's very hard to pick one and stand by it and say that you want to draft that guy. And I know that there's going to be names, and I think it is going to be very easy for me to go, well, I don't want that one, and I don't want that one, and I don't want that one. And then to be here in this moment again next year, bitching and moaning because we lost to a team like that. So I can understand where you're coming from, and I believe a guy like Zion is much better, obviously, as a talent than Darius Garland. But I swear to you, up and down, I don't believe in him. I'd rather see other options. Like if there are options that I like, I'd have to find one. Then yeah, I'll discuss it. But that option is not one for me. Max Strus sent a motivational text to his teammates to the Cavs on Tuesday morning. What were some of his teammates thinking when they received that text? Well, we have some very interesting audio of what they might have been thinking when they got that text from Max. That's coming up at 7:45. However, we bring in Bobby Marks now to talk about how the Cavs can get better, if the Cavs can get better, if there are any moves that the Cavs can make. Bobby Marks, former NBA assistant general manager, ESPN. Bobby, real quick, I don't think you crossed paths with Kenny Atkinson at Brooklyn, no?
No, I was, my last year was 2015.
And that was before.
Yeah, no, I didn't, but I know Kenny well. So no, I did not work with him in Brooklyn though.
So, you know, we're trying to, it's unfair, but it's blame radio, things like that. Bobby, what are the differences from last year to this year between J.B. Bickerstaff and Kenny Atkinson that we can hold on to? Because, you know, we're trying to find somebody to point our sights at right now. And, you know, the players are the players. We very rarely want to point it at the players. We always go at the head coach. We did it last year with J.B., and here we were this year. And it's like, oh, inbounds passes, things like that. I'm like, well, we said the same thing about that last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year they were, you know, I know certainly Donovan kind of limped to the finish line a little bit, but I felt, you know, and I know, you know, Jarrett was out, but I mean, this year, I mean, as I said in the article, for the first, whatever, 7 months of the regular season and 2 weeks of the playoffs, they were the best team in the NBA. I mean, you know, or at least in the Eastern Conference. And then all of a sudden you get to a second round against Indiana and things certainly changed. I mean, the list of injuries, certainly, if you want to blame that, and nobody, I guess, probably nobody really cares. But, I mean, when you have Mobley, Garland, Mitchell, Hunter, I mean, none of those four guys are 100%. You know, I think that plays a huge role. I think, you know, listen, it's a disappointing year. You win 64 games and you're expecting to get to a conference, to a conference finals. You know, the game, of course, game two is probably the game that lost the series. The inability to close when you should have. So yeah, I mean, listen, you guys, of course, you can do blame radio and you can pick apart and stuff like that. But I do think, you know, I do think a lot. I mean, them during the regular season last year were a good to average team. I mean, then during this year, of course, were a dominant team. But as we know, things change in the second round here. And I do think injuries had to play at least some of it into that.
Bobby Marks with us right now on the hotline. So the first thing we all do immediately when a team loses in the playoffs is start to think about whether or not they need to retool or not. And last year they decided, you know what, we are keeping the core, but we are dismissing the coach. So that was going to be where they made their big change. Well, obviously, Atkinson's going to be back next year. Now the question is, how prohibitive is the new CBA landscape for them to be able to truly make moves?
Extremely prohibitive. You know, the extension of Donovan kicking in, and then certainly with Evan's extension, you know, changing, you know, with him being named Defensive Player of the Year, adding another $8 or $9 million to their payroll next year has, and then of course, when they went out and made the DeAndre Hunter trade at the deadline, they basically paused the financial clock for about a year. And it's equivalent to going out and getting a home equity loan where you're getting money up front, but you're going to pay a significant interest rate down the road there. And that's what's basically going to happen with the Hunter trade. They're a second apron team right now. So what does that mean? They're $13 million. They're not just over, they're $13 million over. So they can't combine salaries in a trade. So if you're looking to try to trade Jared Allen and Max Strus for a $35 million player coming back, you're not allowed to do that. If you were trying to trade for, if you're trying to trade Jared Allen and you want to take back a $22 million player, you're not allowed to do that. If you want to send out cash in a trade, you're not allowed to do that. Your exceptions are basically all eliminated. Your signing exceptions are basically eliminated. Your pick in 2033, your first will get frozen if you finish over the second apron this next season here. That's why if you're gonna try to trade your pick in 31 or 32, you got to do it basically during this upcoming season here. You can bring back Ty Jerome if you want. You are allowed to do that. There's no restriction except for maybe a little bit of the cost, but it comes at a significant. Number. For example, if you sign them to a $14 million salary, it costs you another $80 million towards the luxury tax. So it's, yeah, there's certainly restrictions. The CBA doesn't tell you that you can't keep what you have, but it's basically telling you that you can't add any, you know, it limits you as far as adding everything else.
31 and 32. I mean, good God, we're going to have a new football stadium by then. You're scaring the hell out of me over here, Bobby.
You're not the only team who's in that boat.
There's
a lot of those teams that have those. Listen, Denver's in that same situation. The Lakers are in that same situation where, yeah, you have, you know, you basically depleted your assets as far as from the Donovan trade. And then certainly going out and get Hunter, you eliminated most of your swap rights and everything here. And that's probably your, you know, your big trade asset is your 2031 or 32 first to go out and do something.
So the Hunter trade, because I made the point on social media yesterday that it seemed like it was actually now more risky than I thought at the time. Now, granted, I didn't think they'd get bounced in the second round, and it's unfortunate he got injured in the series, even though he was able to play. So do you think they would have been better off maintaining their flexibility, or is that a move you make every time because they needed that length and you weren't assuming they were going to get bounced as early as they did?
Yeah, I think what would have happened is you still would have had Niang and his salary on your books, and you would have been forced to, you know, Karras would have been here too, but he would have been a free agent. You would have had a little bit of flexibility, but it wasn't like, you know, you would have still been a luxury tax team. You would have probably been close to the first apron. So it would have still have limited you as far as going out and signing a player in free agency.
So, Bobby, what can the Cavs actually do? Can they do anything to be better than what they are? I mean, they won 64 games.
But, well, that's the hard thing. Yeah. You know, it's like, I know. It's like, what can I do to be better? And then you're like, wait a minute, they just won 64 games, right? It's like, it's a hard, it is an extremely hard question to answer. They've got 11 guys under contract. They've got two picks in the second round. Yeah, certainly those are probably more designated to two-way guys. Yeah, I'm sure that the age-old question will come back as far as the Garland-Mitchell fit. I'm sure that the Mobley Allen fit, which I thought was, you know, pretty good this year. I mean, they were a really good team. Unfortunately, you know, they found a unfortunate fate when it comes to when it comes to the playoffs. Listen, they'll explore. I don't think you could just sit here after losing, getting bounced in the second round, and after winning 64 games, and say, "Oh, you know what? We're going to do it all again." You know, and because what you don't want to happen is you get to this point again next year, and basically the same things happen. You know, defensively, kind of went out the window a little bit, which you were one of the better defensive teams. I mean, you did everything right. I mean, you had the fifth fewest games missed to injury this year. You managed Donovan really well. Unfortunately, he gets hurt towards the end of the, you know, in the playoffs here. But I do think you'll be exploring trades as far as what you can do, as I said, but you're just kind of limited as far as what the return value is going to be.
All right, Bobby, with that said, you gave us all the limitations of the deals you could make, but could you provide a framework of a deal you could make? The names that keep coming up are Jared Allen and Darius. So if you were to, let's just say, move one of those guys, what's the framework of a deal you could do that would be feasible under the CBA?
Listen, if you wanted to, I don't know, hypothetical, let's say, have to be a third team involved. If you wanted to go out and try to get like Drew Holiday, for example, okay, just hypothetical, and you wanted to trade Darius, you would have to basically trade Darius to a third team and get Drew Holiday from Boston. That works, because you were taking back less money. You know, one makes, I think, 34, 35. The other one makes close to 40. That type of deal would work. As far as with Jarrett, you know, he's going in. He still has one more year left on his original contract. So that's at 20. So you're basically looking at anything, you know, anything less than 20, you know, $20 million, which it doesn't get you terrific value out there, but that's the type of framework. You just, as I said, you just can't combine his number with another salary. You know, if you can't combine him and Isaac's number to go get a $30 million player out there.
Why did the league move to do something that would limit, like, owners like Dan Gilbert, who love spending money, have no problem spending money and spare no expense? Why do you think the league went to this? Because originally it was, well, to prevent the super teams and everything, but now you have a team in Cleveland, homegrown draft picks, a superstar trade that they use their own assets to get. It wasn't like there was any collusion or conspiring to form a team like this, and it seems like they are now being penalized for drafting well.
Well, they're not really homegrown. I mean, they drafted well with Mobley and Garland, but they traded for Allen and Mitchell. So,
you know, but those, aren't those savvy trades and using your own assets to make it happen?
Sure. I mean, but they're similar to where Boston is. You know, Boston traded for Derek White and Porzingis, and they're going to pay a financial cost, and that roster is going to be torn apart after the season is. I think the reason why the league did it is why we're looking at the playoffs right now, where you can say any team remaining can still win a championship. I mean, that's a big reason why, and it forced owners like one of the wealthiest owners in Steve Ballmer in the world to walk away from, you know, basically the apron has scared billionaires. I mean, that's the reality of it, and the NBA has accomplished doing it, where you have, whether it be Ballmer walking away from Paul George, and that trade, and that worked for him. You know, them not signing Paul George was the best move they could do. Golden State not signing Klay Thompson, and it worked for him. You could still go out and, you know, we saw the Lakers go out and get Luka, and Golden State go out and get Jimmy Butler. The hard part now becomes is that when you're one of these you know, teams that pay a significant price, those deals basically kind of go out the window.
Bobby Marks joining us here from ESPN. Hey, in team building, how does a team get tougher?
Yeah.
How do they do that?
That's a good question. Listen, you're going to have to find, you know, as far as, yeah, it's not going to grow over the summer, right? Yeah. It's not going to, and it's funny because it's a good point. It's a good point because you watch some of these other series and some of these games kind of turn into a hockey. You know, like, you know, there's always going to be a, like, whether it be Golden State, the Houston series, or Golden State, Minnesota, there's going to be a flare up somewhere, right? We didn't really see that as much. You know, I know we saw a little bit as far as maybe a teeny bit in this Indiana series because there was no guys that you can kind of throw in your fourth line and say, like, you know, hey, go out and get, you know, take care of their best player and stuff. So, yeah, how do you go out and do that? I mean, I guess you're going to do it probably in the veteran minimum market there and find, you know, if you can find a guy that kind of fits that identity. But yeah, that's every team needs one or two of them. Unfortunately, Cleveland didn't have one. It probably pays more for the playoffs than regular season. But yeah, that's I would think something. How do you get more of a defensive identity, and how do you become tougher?
Well, some people are saying like Tristan Thompson should go out there and start socking people. And I'm like, well, I don't know how that works. And they're like, well, how does it work? Well, Bobby, can you explain how that doesn't work like that?
Yeah, listen, if he went out there, I would think Tristan Thompson, he didn't make a lot of money. He would probably lose most of that paycheck that he earned this year as far as to do that. But I do think, you know, like P.J. Tucker, and I know P.J. Tucker's past his prime right now. Like when P.J. Tucker was in Milwaukee, and he had a role, right? I mean, there was a role for him out there. That's hard. It's just hard to kind of go out and find those type of guys now.
Bobby Marks, ESPN. Follow him on Twitter. Bobby, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. At Bobby Marks 42 on social media. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
That's some version of Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We're talking a lot of Cavs today. And Chris Fedor is working right now for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. When things ease up with the Cavaliers and their postseason cleaning out of things that they didn't expect to be doing today, Chris will be joining us here on the show. Chris Rose will join us coming up at 1 o'clock, our buddy from the NFL Network. And, of course, dugout discussions in baseball today.
Yeah, said Nolan Good was the quarterback at Avon and should be at Kent.
Yes, he was.
G-O-O-D.
Yep. Yes, I called a game that he did at InfoCision Stadium. He was very good.
And his last name happens to be the code word this hour. Congratulations, Nolan.
That's wonderful.
I don't know what's more exciting, playing football at Kent or being the code word.
Might be the code word.
Playing the hits on a loser Wednesday
might,
right here.
Might be the code word.
If, nice thing.
If, what do you think the front office is thinking right now of the Cavaliers?
Oh, man, I hope Dan doesn't call today. I just need one day away. I'm hoping Dan doesn't call. What time do you think the meeting was this morning, 5:45?
What do you think the front office is thinking today, other than hope Dan doesn't call?
What time were they gathered? Oh, man.
Do you think they're thinking...
I've seen those faces before, too. Remember when they used to have the little luxury boxes?
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the... They were right by the bench. They remodeled those. But
yeah.
You could feel the misery of every general manager that's ever called Cleveland home when you knew the season was about to end, and you'd see them all huddling, and they're going, all right, guys, well, I guess this one didn't work. It was good working with her. Maybe somewhere down the road we'll work again.
My favorite moment in those little boxes where those guys sat.
Yeah.
Right at the tunnel.
Yeah.
One day, Brendan was on the team.
Yeah.
At the time, former North Carolina Tar Heel and Washington Wizard.
Yep.
And he got up, and any time, like LeBron would go back to the locker room, these guys would follow.
Oh yeah,
the GM and you know the powers that be would follow
it's LeBron like the Piper. There.
Or you know if it was anybody else, it was you know, big name. Brendan got up, and I'm standing in the tunnel. Brendan got up, walked back to the locker room, and nobody blinked. Okay, Brendan's a pretty funny guy. He walks back out. He stops and turns and he goes, "Hey guys, I'm good. Don't worry. No problems. I'm okay." And walked back and sat down on the bench.
Was it Chris who was here?
I think it was Griff.
Oh, it was
Griff. It was so funny because Brendan was just, "Guys, I'm okay. No problems. Don't worry. I'm good." It just cracked me up. I think the front office, they clearly have decisions to make.
Of course.
But I Andy, this is going to be a fascinating thing to watch this offseason. Do they think they need to bust up the core four? Or do they need to supplement the rest of the roster with guys who really fit with what they're trying to do here? And if so, if they deem that to be, well, then how do you get those guys? I will be the first to admit I do not understand. No, I'm not your first apron, second apron, over the line guy when it comes to the money. What I do know is this: they're in a world of hurt when it comes to trying to sign guys and bring in guys for money because they've spent a lot of money on this roster, very expensive roster. They don't have first-round picks to trade.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what they're going to do with those two second-round picks. That was probably what the meeting was this morning. What are they at, 49 and 50 this year?
Does that mean
you're going to... I think it's where they are right now. I think
if you're banking on improving the roster with second-round picks,
oh, yeah.
Good luck to you. We know they're not doing that.
Jeff, if this was the NFL, they were second-round picks, we would expect a lot out of them. Just saying. I'm expecting both of our second-round picks to be playing somewhere overseas.
I just wonder, and who was it earlier in the show? One of our callers made a great point. I forget who it was. I won't say who I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
You had Tristan on the team, and he didn't play very much. I understand the idea of having veterans on the team and blah, 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 blah. I've had former players tell me veterans on the team who don't contribute don't do anything. Doesn't matter. If you can't play, it doesn't matter.
Aren't they like in charge of the team text chain or anything?
You have coaches. Those are the guys that matter. If you're bringing in a veteran for leadership, he better be able to play because otherwise it doesn't matter. I've heard that from former players. If you're just sitting there, I don't care. But if you're helping me on the court and off the court as well, that's a different story. So, and one of our callers said, why'd you have him here? You could have brought in a young guy, worked with him, developed him, and try to have a guy who you could end up having be a contributing factor for your team.
You know who I think of when you define, I always think of Hartenstein, who is, you know,
Isaiah, who I liked a lot.
Yeah, and they let him go.
I liked him a lot. I thought he was a terrific young player.
Did they trade him or they just
release him? They didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
And now he's a key member of a Houston team that did some good things this year.
Hartenstein, didn't matter.
Hartenstein, regardless, he can play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what this team's going to have to do unless they decide to go big, big trade. We're going to blow somebody up and we're going to move somebody. And that would not be a condemnation of, say, Jaren Allen or Darius Garland. What it would be is we're looking for the best roster fit we can find. You know, does Max Strus get moved? I like Max. Is he your starting three? I don't think so. You know,
no.
DeAndre Hunter is under a long-term contract. I'd start DeAndre myself, and I'd look for another guy who can come in and do similar things to what DeAndre can do.
Plus, you made a pretty big investment to bring him here. You did.
Well, you
led
up
players that might have been able to help you in the playoffs.
Well, I don't think there's any question that Caris LeVert and George Niang could have been beneficial for this team in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But so was DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, he messed up his thumb. You know, ideal world, do you bring any of those guys back? You might not have the money to. And you might not have the money to make the kind of moves that you know you might need to make. If you just look at what Indiana has done, you know, they traded a star player. They traded Domantas Sabonis and brought in Tyrese Halliburton. Why? Fit. They thought it would be a better fit for what they wanted to do. And all right, we're trading a big guy for a guy who's going to run the whole offense for us. Halliburton gets very little respect. He deserves more. They gave up a boatload for Pascal Siakam. It's not the kind of trade I like, as you know. I think they gave up too much, but Siakam is a really good player, and I like him.
Gave up a ton.
I don't like those kind of trades.
But look where they are now. And so maybe at the end of the day, Indiana's, what they gave up 3 first-round picks, I think 2 players in that, to Toronto in that deal.
Yeah, but
I mean, it was a players, major.
And the players they gave up were not of high caliber.
Brown, I'm trying to remember who was in that trade.
They weren't like giving up Lowry Markkanen and
no
a guy like Sexton who can score. They brought in Obi Toppin. All right, Knicks had enough. Obi was a nice player for them.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Thomas Bryant. Was he great? No. Did he serve a purpose? Yes, he certainly did. And those might be the kind of guys the Cavs can go out and bring in. You know, you find a guy who didn't work with another team but might work with you. And they might be able to get guys like that and might be able to get them on the cheap. You never know. Robert is in Cleveland. Robert, got a minute, buddy.
Hey, I was just calling. I just wanted to make a few points.
Go ahead.
I know you talked about the backcourt. Mitchell and Garland was 12 of 41. I think Nembhard and Halliburton took less, like maybe 10 to 12 shots.
They were 17 of 26 combined, Robert.
Right, and they scored 10 more points in the backcourt in Cleveland. That's number one. Number two, I feel like I disagree with, I think his name was Smooth Ray or something like that.
Cool Ray.
So we played guys 30 minutes all year. We swept Miami, had time to rest. So where was the fatigue? That shouldn't have been a factor. That's number two. Number three, we was killing them in the paint last night, and everybody, Donovan Mitchell and Garland, they just start shooting jump shots. And it's like, where's the coach in the state? Stop doing that. Go back to the paint where we control the game. Jared Allen, I mean, you have to set him up. Evan Mobley, he can get his own. But Jared Allen, he need a backup center to replace his inability to get buckets on his own. The little push shots he kept trying, kept getting blocked. And you got
only took 6 shots.
Right. That's because he can't create his own offense.
Yeah, but most centers, Robert, can't. You know, most centers need to get the ball passed to them and set up. And Evan's the same way. Evan can create his own shot to some extent. He's still a big guy who needs to get the ball, and that's what guards are supposed to do. And I this team to me doesn't reach its full potential until Evan Mobley becomes Batman to Donovan Mitchell, Superman. 216-474-0092. Fedor coming up. Chris Rose coming up. More of your phone calls coming up right here on The Fan.
I'll ask you, do you agree with him?
No, I think you need to move Jared Allen, is what I've said. And so I if they run it back, I think it'll be because Kobe Altman did the same thing last year and he doesn't want to shake it up. Now with the second apron, everything becomes tougher. You know, like, I mean, it's not as if I have some great solution for what you get back in return. It's been 3 postseasons now with Jared Allen. I think you need to open it up for Evan Mobley. And if there's an odd man out to shake it up a little bit, it seems like that's Jared to me.
Listen, I think everything should be on the table. I think bringing the team back as constituted should be on the table. And that includes with Ty Jerome. When I say everything, I mean, you have to have every iteration of every conversation. I don't know that was the case last year. Last year it was, all right, what about Donovan? And meaning like, where's the contractual situation going? And then can we get value for Darius, who I think was the odd man out last year, right?
Yeah, and I don't even know if that was honestly from them more than it was with the reports. It was from Darius' side more than it was from their side.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they had gotten a home run offer for Darius, I don't think
But there was obviously no home run offer that was coming there.
Now, this year, I wonder if it's different. I mean, I know Darius, the stats don't look great in the indie game. the two games he was healthy in the Miami game, it looked pretty darn good, looked pretty darn explosive.
Yeah, I still worry about the idea that, again, he was injured in the postseason, and he's just been injured an awful ton. I don't know that you're going to get the most value for Darius that I guess maybe a lot of Cavs fans would expect or think.
But when I say every conversation, I think there's a conversation that none of us want to have that we absolutely should be having, which is tied to, is the Donovan part of this window closed? Meaning, is the part of this window where you have a chance to win a championship with Donovan as your best player, is that closed? And if the answer is you think maybe closer to a yes than a no, and you don't think the Evan window is open yet, and it might not be open next year, then I think there's some conversations you can have after that.
I mean, I think the big bet you got to make is that next year is the start of the Evan window for calling it between which is the best player on the team. Yeah. I think that's how the window is differentiated. Then I think next year's got to be that. Because, yeah, Nick, where else are you? If you run it back, where else are you getting some big jump to make it a much better postseason?
If you're the Cavs, can you? Because here's the thing. I think we all put it on like a jump. I think there's multiple jumps from here. Like I think we saw Evan with a ball in his hand and facilitate offense. When I say facilitate, I mean get the ball at the top of the key, look for a pass, and then, you know, charge inside. I think we saw that as much as I think we've seen it ever in the playoffs. I mean, he really did a good job. Now, it didn't lead to dominant performances, but like, I guess my thing is, if you think Evan is two steps away as opposed to one step away, there is a conversation about Donovan and Donovan's value and whether or not that is a conversation you want to open up.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any sort of addition in getting rid of Donovan that would make me feel happy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was
one of the first ones to knock him for what happened in game five. The very best Donovan play, in his opinion, was just banging his body into people and drawing a foul. That's how he ended up with 21 free throws when the Pacers as a team had 22. Like, there are things you can get on Donovan with, but I just don't see how you get better without Donovan.
To me, because he's 29, and he'll be 29, I want to say, in like 100 days or something like that. Because he's 29 and because he also has had health issues the last 2 years, like he's been worn down, I think you just have to ask, like, all right, are our timelines all in alignment there? And again, like, I think it's damn near impossible to find something that makes you better by getting rid of him. So I'm not saying they should. I think you have to have this conversation, though. So I have two things I wanted to pose to you.
Okay.
As opposed to that god-awful Jrue Holiday
and
thing
so
earlier.
We've got to set the parameters here, and I don't know. I can collectively say, before seeing any of the trades, I will either love both of them or I will be not in love with both of them, okay?
All right, so what's interesting about this is every time because I pitched this to Phelps, I pitched this to Keith earlier.
Okay.
And a couple other folks that I'm just not remembering.
Let me just tell you what I know about you with trades, okay?
Yeah.
Typically, it goes in favor of the Cavs. Typically. So does this trade work for both sides? Is it a fair trade for both?
Yes.
Okay. So if we're playing with those parameters, and I'm going to have a very open mind here. So I'm going to try not to. I want to root for these trade ideas. Okay?
It doesn't sound like you do. It sounds like you want to set up with, you don't like my trades.
I think it's set up with the idea that I'm just going to poo-poo it. I'm just going to say thumbs down. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm entering. Well, I mean, this is coming from the guy that had Darius Garland as a better player than Tyrese Halliburton before the series started.
I think there's still time for that to bear
out. I think our NBA rankings are sometimes a little off between the two of us. So I'm leaving my mind open.
Emphasizing us, meaning me.
But yeah, there's only two of us here. And Wes Mack wants to get in the rankings, but he's technically in a different room right now.
That's true.
Between us, what do we got?
First trade, Darius for Tyler Hero straight up.
And the money works, everything works.
Yes. Yeah, you actually, I don't know if you get fully under the second apron, but you do save a little bit of money.
Is Miami doing, I'm trying to figure out why Miami's doing this.
Because
are they doing
the
idea?
They turn around and use the rest of their assets to get another.
Okay, I was going to say, do they then get Ja? Do they then go get, is that the idea?
I don't think they would get Darius and Ja, but maybe you get Zion, or maybe you take a bigger swing at Giannis. Like, this would be part one of it. The reason why they do this is you get arguably the better playmaker, maybe the better scorer at a reduced cost, so they can use the rest of your assets to chase bigger fish.
And it's just a straight up one for one?
One for one.
Okay, I like it.
Okay. Now, they might also have to throw in Hawkes, but I
would might be actually even be a deal breaker for them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He scored 9 points again.
They like Jaime.
They did until they didn't. All right. So
still do.
So you would do this?
Yeah. Yes, I would. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Tyler Hero is a better basketball player in many respects.
So the reason why I would consider it,
freshness of this all, by the way.
To realize, one, he is a secondary creator. Two, he is a really good three-point shooter. So some of the things that you're losing with Darius, you still have with Tyler. And then he's not undersized. Like, he is a 6 foot five. He's a traditionally sized shooting guard. So it's not going to be as easy just to attack the backcourt the same way, even though Tyler's not maybe necessarily a dominant defender himself. So the other one is Donovan.
They could use Darius, by the way, in part of trading for Ja, and then going Ja and Adebayo would probably make the most sense.
Jadabio is what we call
that. Jadabio, how about that?
Man, I just really drove the show into the side of an embankment there, going full John Denver here on a Thursday.
I like how my response is, how about that?
Hot damn. There ain't no beating this. The second trade.
How about that?
Now that we've amused me enough to continue.
It's like our guy that said, oh, Jesus, with Dustin Hopkins earlier. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Dustin Hopkins still in the roster. I guess they are a three-win team, Nick. Donovan for Hero, Hawkes, where in three firsts?
No.
Wow, that was a very specific type of no.
Well, it was it's Donovan and Evan Mobley are the two untouchables to me in this.
I think Evan's the only untouchable moving forward. That doesn't mean you have to touch Donovan right now.
Easy now.
But we saw the Skims ad. Well done, Donovan. Good for you.
Enjoy the bulge.
However, you don't have to touch Donovan right now. But, I mean, he is 29. He is undersized, and there are injury issues there.
I don't think you're a better team with that setup.
Not immediately, but it does give you the freedom back going forward. Where's prominence allows you the backup center slash he can also play alongside Evan because they're both guys who can shoot the three-pointer. And that might also free you up to then maybe also turn around and trade Jared if you really want to go excessive this offseason.
Look at you, back with the NBA trade machine. And these weren't
I thought these up, and then I put them through the trade machine.
Yeah, the trade machine that does not account for the second apron, by the way.
And this one, this one actually does. This one gets you completely below the NBA, the ESPN one doesn't.
Doesn't.
Trade NBA does.
Trade NBA
so
does,
this
okay.
one gets you fair below the...
In learning more and more about the second apron, by the way, I did learn that it is fluid, which is something I didn't know when we first started talking about this a couple days ago.
The apron?
The apron's fluid. So
how
if you
can
go,
an apron be fluid?
If you go under it, then all of a sudden you're not over the second apron, and you're not restricted by some of the limitations that everyone keeps talking about. So, like, in one swift move, one Isaac Okoro move, you can all of a sudden be, you know, under the second apron and not restricted by some of the penalties.
Yeah, but who's going to take Isaac Okoro on?
No, that's a problem. I know.
Man, that felt really personal for Mac. Mac, we're just trying to have a real Okoro conversation here. 216-474-0092, because he's not good.
Getting Okoro with it.
But then, thankfully, we got him for another 2 years, I believe.
I was
Darius,
wrong.
Darius for Tyler Hero, or Donovan for Hero, Hawkes, Khalil Ware, and three first. Which trade do you dislike? Which or do you say yes to one, yes to neither, or you can't say both yes to both, but you get what I'm saying there. Do you like both of them? And is the Cavs title window with Donovan closed? That feels like there was a pretty emphatic statement on where the Cavs are with Donovan in this Indiana series. And the NFL doesn't realize its biggest schedule weakness yet. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.